the Radio Iowa podcast. I'm Stella Schaffer.
I'm happy to be here in Story County, and I'm here to tell you that today I'm endorsing Senator Obama and co-chairing this campaign. I couldn't be prouder of anything in my life.
Mike Fitzgerald has served as the state treasurer for the past 24 years. He spoke at Sunday's campaign rally in Ames for the Illinois senator who'd announced 24 hours earlier that he'll run for president. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson was all over it.
Barack Obama.
Obama spoke to over 5,000 people gathered in Hilton Coliseum in Ames. Sunday's stop came the day after Obama formally declared he's running for president. Obama outlined his biography for the crowd and launched into a speech that touched on the same themes he raised in speeches before the fall election. Many of the crowd's loudest responses came when Obama challenged President Bush's actions on Iraq. During an interview with Radio Iowa afterwards, Obama said the American public has good cause to be angry about Iraq, but he added a caveat.
I think it's true that Democrats still have not won over a consensus of the country that would allow them to lead forcefully on some of these issues. And that's, I think, the job of the next presidential candidate and the next president.
As for his run for the White House, Obama did not utter the "I'm in it to win it" phrase New York Senator Hillary Clinton's using, but he offered this.
I don't plan to lose Iowa. We are confident that if we do what we need to do and work hard here, that we'll do just fine.
Radio Iowa, I'm O.K. Henderson.
Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller, who has also served in that office for 24 years, is backing Obama, too.
You know, I believe that when this country is in difficult times and needs great leadership, those leaders come. And I truly believe that this man is an extraordinary leader at a difficult time.
Miller and Fitzgerald spent the past 8 years serving in state government with Tom Vilsack, the former Iowa governor who is also seeking the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Jeff Link, Vilsack's campaign manager, says Vilsack believes both men are outstanding elected officials, but says Vilsack is still going to work hard to win the Iowa caucuses. And on Monday, Vilsack issued a challenge to Obama to debate him. We'll get back to you on the response. Vilsack was invited to his second national nighttime show since declaring for president. First time around, he went fishing for the invite after comedy political host Jon Stewart made fun of his name, comparing it to the Aflac insurance duck. He presented Stewart with a stuffed toy duck. Vilsack says he's no stuffed shirt and does have a sense of humor.
I don't know that I necessarily gave folks as good an understanding of me as a person. You know, I work all the time. I work hard, and I'm kind of a serious guy, and I kind of, you know, the Daily Show sort of gave me this view of things. I mean, I saw the look of panic on the looks of our staff members. My God, he's going to go on a comedy show. It's going to be a disaster. It's just going to be terrible for the poor guy.
They may have gained some confidence from that encounter. This week he was invited to go on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Vilsack appeared first in a skit at the very beginning of the show, not in costume, but as himself in suit and tie.
Please check this. I know my name's on here.
Sir, I'm only going to ask you to leave one more time, okay?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Jay. Hey, quiet you. Jay, this guy's trying to sneak into the studio. He says he's on the show tonight.
He is on the show. This is Tom Vilsack. He's running for president of the United States.
Yeah, I remember you now. You did that documentary on global warming.
Is it going to happen or not?
It's The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
That was a security guard who appeared to be mistaking Vilsack for Al Gore. Later, about 11:15 Iowa time, Leno formally introduced Vilsack.
Democratic candidate to announce he's running for president in 2008. Trouble is, hardly anybody knows him outside of Iowa, where he was recently governor. I did a few jokes about him. In the interest of fairness, we decided to invite him here. Please welcome Tom Vilsack.
Vilsack joked, too, about being slightly lower than margin of error in the polls, then talked about his personal background and his campaign website. National media have gotten a hold of that photo of Vilsack in the Winnie the Pooh costume that he wore for one of his wife's reading events a couple of years ago. Vilsack expressed relief that he hadn't been asked to wear some sort of costume on the TV show.
No. It was a typical suit and tie kind of thing. There was no costume and no mention of costumes, thank God.
Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney officially kicked off his Republican presidential campaign with a stop this week in snowy Iowa and a speech that expressed support for President Bush's Iraq war plans. Romney said if Iraq is not stabilized, millions may be killed in a massive full-out civil war.
Let me take just a minute and talk about our troops in Iraq. Boy, we want them home. Every person in this room wants them home. We want them as soon as we possibly can have them home. But as we think about bringing them home, we also have to recognize the risks associated with what we're facing there.
Romney said only moderate Muslims will be able to reject the international jihad being waged by extremists. As for Iraq's neighbor, Romney said Iran must not be allowed to possess nuclear weapons. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani says there is no perfect person running for president, but Giuliani says he's confident voters will become convinced he's the best candidate in the GOP field. During a phone interview this week with Radio Iowa, Giuliani brushed aside remarks from the wife of former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who bragged recently to a crowd that Romney was the only one among the top GOP candidates who's been married just once.
You know, look, I made mistakes in my life. I've tried to learn from them, tried to grow from them. I think each one of the other candidates has probably made mistakes, maybe different. I mean, I don't know that we have a perfect person running for president of the United States. But I think in life, you make mistakes, and then you do the best that you can to learn from them and grow.
Some social conservatives in the Republican Party have expressed concerns about Giuliani as the party's standard bearer because he's backed abortion rights. Giuliani's response is to promise that as president, he would appoint conservative judges to the courts.
I don't like abortion. I oppose it. I think it's wrong. I hate it. I wish that people would make the choice for adoption rather than abortion if that's the choice, and I urge people to do that, or at least we move the city in the direction of that when I was the mayor. But ultimately, I do respect a woman's right to choose, and I believe you can't put a woman in jail for it. There are disagreements about that, but I ask people to look at the entire record and understand that this comes from something I've thought about very, 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 very heavily.
And Giuliani says he was a fiscal conservative when he ran New York City. For the first time in nearly 30 years, a Des Moines police officer was killed while on duty last weekend. Officer Sean Wissink was driving early Sunday morning from his home in Grimes into Des Moines when investigators say it looks like he swerved for a deer, went down an embankment, and died. He was on his way to the airport to go to a training session, so the death was ruled as being on duty. The state is reviewing a death at a northeast Iowa jail, Roger King reports.
The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation is looking into the death of an inmate in the Blackhawk County Jail. At about 1:30 p.m. Sunday, EMTs were called to the Blackhawk County Jail in Waterloo on the report of an unresponsive inmate. 39-year-old Michael Sutton of Waterloo was found dead. Sutton's body was taken to the Iowa Medical Examiner's Office to determine the cause of death. The investigation is being conducted by the Iowa DCI. Roger King, Radio Iowa, Olwine.
Later in the week, Sutton's wife said, though he had not been under any kind of suicide watch at the jail, he'd been briefly hospitalized just a few days earlier in a mental ward after cutting his wrists. Sutton was jailed on a probation violation when jailers say he hanged himself using a bedsheet. And by midweek, the state medical examiner confirmed his death was a suicide. The battle over stem cell research got underway this week at the State House when senators took up proposed legislation dealing with the issue. Governor Jed Culver has called on lawmakers to repeal a ban on a type of cloning that he says restricts stem cell research. Senate Democratic leader Mike Gronstahl of Council Bluffs said the Democrats were ready.
We're looking to rewrite that section of the law. We are going to continue to keep the ban on human cloning in place. So this bill will not allow human cloning, but it will allow the research and it will allow the treatment of people that have diseases like Parkinson's or diabetes or spinal cord injuries, those kinds of things.
But Senate Republican leader Mary Lundby of Marion said Republicans are worried the change would open the door to research in Iowa that would lead to human cloning.
I've grown up in Iowa. I've represented Iowans for many, many years now, my 21st year. I've seen the deterioration in society of things that we consider taboo. We have gratuitous violence on television and in video games. If you watch any of the primetime sitcoms, the double entendre has new meaning in the fact that it shows up in every other sentence. And I just think Iowans are going to draw the line at the process of human cloning.
Dr. Mark Anderson, a University of Iowa researcher, says stem cell research holds astounding potential.
It provides the potential to replace tissue in diseases where present cures or present treatments are inadequate. So in diabetes, in neurological diseases like Parkinson's disease, and in heart disease.
Parents spoke movingly at a public event later in the week about their children who might benefit from genetic research. But Senator Nancy Boettcher, a Republican from Harlan, was among the no votes.
And despite the attempts to employ various euphemisms, scientifically, genetically, what is created is a human being. Its species is Homo sapiens. It is neither fish nor fowl, monkey nor cow. It is human.
The Senate passed the bill by a 26-24 margin. It now heads to the House. Another controversial bill promised by Democrats during the campaign last year would require you to pay a fee to a union if it negotiates with management at your workplace and you benefit from its work. To critics, that goes against Iowa's stance as a right-to-work state where you can't be forced to join a union. Critics of the so-called Fair Share bill say it could drive away employers. But this week, Governor Chet Culver says he has not heard of a single business being scared away by the proposed legislation.
Not one business that I've talked to.
The Des Moines Register has reported some companies looking to expand in Iowa are reconsidering because of the so-called Fair Share bill. Culver says Iowa's a business-friendly place.
I've also seen studies that have been done by the National Chamber of Commerce that say we're in the top 10 in the nation in some key business-friendly economic indicators, like workers' compensation claims and unemployment claims.
A public hearing was held at midweek. One speaker, Sandy Deering of Des Moines, a registered nurse at Broadlawns Hospital. She belongs to a union and thinks the fair share fee system will help create unity there, help promote patient care.
We just need a change in our approach to patient care. And to me, joining a union with my coworkers has brought this about. We just organized 3 years ago. Yesterday we finished negotiating our second contract at Broadlawns, and I think it's a fair contract.
But opponents like National Right to Work President Mike Mix say paying fees to the union is akin to forced union membership.
And we would encourage legislators to set aside all the rhetoric and look at what's going to happen to a worker if this law passes. If they don't pay fees to the union, they're going to be fired. And that's a violation of the right to work law as it stands today. And so all the rhetoric and propaganda around this issue boils down to a very simple concept. If you don't pay fees and this law passes, you're fired.
Wade Jacobs of Evansdale has worked at John Deere's Waterloo Works for 9 years. He says he hesitantly joined a union when he first got the job, but had enough of union concessions on pay and retirement benefits, and he quit paying union dues. He's against the bill that would force him to pay fees to the union.
This will definitely affect me directly. I will no longer have a choice to exercise my rights to not be a member of the union or be a member.
The state of Iowa unveiled a new campaign this week to get people to look for signs of kids who may face all kinds of trouble from drug use in their homes. Radio Iowa's Dar Danielson reports.
Drugs hurt Iowa children in ways you may not know. Parents and others who sell, make, or abuse drugs put kids at risk of abuse.
State drug czar Gary Kendall says the campaign features newspaper, TV, and radio ads designed to make people aware of drug-endangered kids.
Imagine, if you will, growing up in a home where methamphetamine is being made in the next room, or people are coming to your house every 15 minutes to buy drugs from your parents, or your parents sitting at their kitchen table and use drugs in front of you. Those are the types of kids that we're talking about. Those are Iowa's drug-endangered children.
Kendall says the ads direct people to the website drugshurtkids.com, where they can learn the signs to look for that indicate a drug-endangered kid. Kendall says the site also tells you how to report suspected problems so the kids can be checked out by professionals. The program is paid for by a grant from the U.S. Department of Justice and Principal Financial. Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson.
An Iowa doctor says the influx of over-the-counter drugs has created some potentially dangerous mixtures with prescription drugs. Roberta Wattleworth is a professor of family medicine at Des Moines University.
I think the one that interferes the most is the fact that penicillin and other products interfere with oral contraceptives. because we have younger people that are having unintended pregnancies because of taking over-the-counter products, not realizing their interaction.
Waddleworth says one of the things she finds, especially among her elderly patients, is they believe if something's sold over-the-counter, it is harmless. She can list common painkillers that can hurt kidneys or the liver in doses not much greater than what's recommended. She says you should ask the pharmacist about prescription or non-items they sell and tell your doctor about any meds you consider taking prescribed by that doc or no. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley testified before a U.S. House panel Tuesday on drug safety issues at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Grassley appeared before the House Energy and Commerce Committee on Oversight and Investigations, said he's been studying the FDA's actions for years and believes public safety is at stake.
Yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration very dramatically scaled back its approval of a relatively new antibiotic called Ketek and put its strongest warning on the label. The Food and Drug Administration did this after nearly a year of public concern of the flawed process by which the Food and Drug Administration approved this very drug in the first place.
Under the new guidelines, Ketek is no longer to be used to treat sinusitis and bronchitis, as the FDA says it may be too risky. It will still be used for treating pneumonia, but will carry much stronger warnings. Grassley said he applauds the about-face by the FDA. And one lawmaker will get another shot at an amendment to the state constitution she's been seeking for 10 years. Dubuque Representative Pam Yoakum is the mother of a child with a mental disability and has long been an advocate for the disabled. She's targeting an old law that says, in so many politically incorrect words, idiots can't vote in Iowa.
We have just eliminated the words insane and idiot and replaced it with any person who has been judged mentally incompetent is not eligible to vote.
She says the words evolved from technical language back then to unacceptable. As society learned more about people and mental conditions, she says the law needs retooling to reflect that. The latest holdup for an anti-bullying bill at the State House, a partisan battle over the rights of private schools. The legislation would make it a crime to harass another student because of his or her religion, race, or sexual orientation. But the Iowa Senate on Tuesday rejected a House-endorsed proposal that would let church schools teach their religious views against homosexuality. Senator Jeff Angelo, a Republican from Creston, said without that amendment, the anti-bullying policy will be fertile ground for trial lawyers.
This simple language is meant to address a potential fear among our constituents that the bill becomes fertile ground for lawsuit.
But Senator Mike Connolly, a Democrat from Dubuque, says lawsuits haven't flooded the courts in other states that have adopted anti-bullying policies, forbidding picking on gay students.
29 states have passed this legislation. It has not led to a whole list of lawsuits by trial attorneys. People have consistently raised these arguments that just don't hold up.
Connolly says the Constitution already grants private schools the right to teach religious doctrine, so they don't need extra protection from the legislature. A wished list of legislation presented by the Attorney General's office this week includes a measure to make it harder to repeat some monumental ripoff schemes uncovered in recent years in which low-income Iowa residents who'd barely scraped up the money to buy homes lost them because of mortgage financing schemes. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller says his proposals are based on laws that worked in North Carolina and Ohio, including a provision against what's called flipping.
If someone goes in and gets a loan with their home as the mortgage, and then 6 months later, 9 months later, the company comes back and figures out a way to do a whole new loan, a refinancing with all a whole new set of charges, points, etc. And that's called flipping. What this legislation would do is frustrate flipping. There'd have to be some sort of real benefit for consumers in making the refinancing.
Miller says this legislation would partner well with the car title loan reform that's making its way through the legislature. Arguments this week in a federal appeals court in St. Louis for a North Central Iowa woman who's sitting on federal death row. Bob Fisher reports.
Angela Johnson and boyfriend Dustin Hawken were convicted of planning and carrying out the drug-related slayings of three adults and two children from the Mason City area in 1993. Both Johnson and Hawken were sentenced to death in 2005, with Johnson becoming the first woman in 50 years to receive a federal death sentence. Johnson's attorneys are challenging the denial of a change of venue request, jury selection, and the connection between drug trafficking and the murders. Bob Fisher, Radio Iowa, Mason City.
A Plattsmouth, Nebraska man who tried to hire a hitman to kill his wife and his Iowa in-laws was sentenced this week for conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. 35-year-old Robert Hardin was arrested last year at an Omaha motel after trying to hire an undercover FBI agent to carry out the killings. At that time, he maintained his innocence.
I love my wife. I love my daughter. I would never intentionally do anything to harm them in any form, shape, what have you. Because the only person that's got a right to say who stays and who goes is the man we all meet one day.
Hardin says he was set up.
I'm emotionally distraught because I can't believe she's doing this. I was talked into going over to the Econo Lodge Hotel by a supposed hitman. And the next thing I know, I walk out the hotel room door, man, there's like three FBI dudes with a gun.
The thing is, when he tried to hire that hitman, the whole incident was caught on videotape. Hardin gave agents specific information where to find his wife and in-laws in Mallard, Iowa. And he even gave them a map showing the layout of the house and photographs of family members. His sentence, 20 years in prison. It was a big surprise this week for some lawyers suing Bill Gates when Microsoft settled its legal challenge by Iowa.
We're very surprised. I think every lawyer thought that we would go to verdict in this case. We did not see the possibility of settlement, but when we got closer and closer, we thought we needed to keep talking in order to see whether or not we could close the gap between us, and we were able to do that.
Roxanne Conlon was the lead attorney for the state's case. The state sued, alleging that Microsoft illegally overcharged for its software between 1994 and 2006. Terms of this settlement were not released, pending final court approval, which is expected in April. A new report says the prison population in Iowa will grow in the next 5 years by 16%, more than any state in the region except South Dakota. The report, titled Public Safety, Public Spending by the Pew Charitable Trusts, looked over data from all 50 states on their prison systems. Project Director Adam Gelb says by the year 2011, there'll be 1.7 million Americans behind bars, and it'll take more prisons to hold them all.
The report found that getting tough on criminals has gotten tough on taxpayers. We were spending $60 billion on corrections now, up from $9 billion 25 years ago, and we project that over the next 5 years, that spending will increase by another $27.5 billion cumulatively.
The report projects a wide range of growth just within the Midwest. Iowa's expect to increase the prison population by 16%, Missouri by 6%, South Dakota by 23%. He says the variation is an artifact of population, but also a result of the policy choices that are made by leaders in each state.
Those new technologies and new strategies are really starting to change the debate in criminal justice. You know, I've been doing this for about 20 years. And I've never before seen the kind of bipartisanship and agreement that we can't just build our way out of this problem here. It's gotten too expensive, and we need to take a hard look at who is in prisons and decide who we're really willing to pay that $22,000 a year to keep behind the walls.
The report says community corrections, re-entry counseling, and strict parole enforcement are other ways to handle offenders without having to spend money building more prisons in the years to come. Health officials are saying this is the first time peanut butter has ever been the source of a salmonella outbreak. Kevin Teal at the Iowa Department of Public Health says we know of 6 cases in Iowa.
In a normal foodborne outbreak, you'll see a lot of cases in a short period of time. This one's been more chronic, just a small number of cases, but just continuing all the way back to last August.
In all, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention by late in the week reported 288 people sickened in 39 states, though no one has died. Iowa's Department of Public Health is trying to recruit more doctors, nurses, and other health providers to rural areas of the state. The department's Doreen Chamberlain says they set up a website called the 3R Net to spotlight the issue.
A facility that is in the rural area that may be looking to recruit a healthcare provider, such as a physician, physician assistant, nurse practitioner, nurse, or other health professional, if they're having difficulties, they can place their vacancy on the 3R Net, and it's found at www.3rnet.org.
Chamberlain says there are different categories in primary care, 58 counties have a health professional shortage. 81 are desperate to get mental health workers. From 3R to P4, a national program joining 15 groups, including one in Cedar Rapids, hopes to make doctor training more relevant. Dr. Gordon Bostian says newly minted doctors who want to practice family medicine have just come through schools that were teaching topics and techniques developed 30 or 40 years ago. He says not every medical student is hoping for the glamour and legendary income of heart surgeons and other specialists.
I enjoy cardiology, but if all I did was listen to heart murmurs, I would, you know, not enjoy doing that day in, day out. I enjoy taking care of people who have depression and psychiatric problems, but if I did that all day, I'd go nuts. I really like the variety, as well as, you know, most specialists, you gotta go in, they order all these tests, and, you know, they feel this pressure to get it right. They only got one shot, where I have a relationship and we take care of the whole patient and their family and in their whole environment. And that's quite a bit different, and I really, you know, for me, that's where I really get the pleasure.
He says the P4 program will help the new doctors learn the most current and effective techniques for family practitioners. Oh, and P4, the name of the Family Medical Residence Program, stands for Preparing the Personal Physician for Practice. A coalition of 21 Iowa organizations has formed the Partnership for Better Health in hopes of influencing the upcoming debate among presidential candidates campaigning in Iowa. Christopher Aitchison, Dean of the University of Iowa's College of Public Health, says will be the focus of major national attention, and it's clear from the presidential campaigns already that health and health care will be on the agenda. This isn't the first group to recommend that its members buttonhole candidates with their issues. Here in the state where they do campaigning, retail, in person, and just about one voter at a time. Governor Chet Culver this week approved a bill that sets aside $4 million more for a state program to provide financial aid to Guard soldiers injured in Iraq or Afghanistan. Another provides home-buying assistance to active-duty Iowa Guard troops returning to the state. Staff Sergeant Mike Levine was on hand for the bill signing.
I was wounded when I was in Iraq, and my platoon leader told me about the program. I put in for it. It catched me back up with my bills and everything else because I was out of work for a while. And within 3 weeks, I had it. This is a great program. It's good for the soldiers. It's helping everybody out a whole lot.
Levine, a Texas native who now lives in Granger, was injured when a roadside bomb exploded. He got a $10,000 grant from the state of Iowa to tide him over during his rehab and until he was able to land a full-time job.
My wife almost fell over when she opened up the envelope because we weren't expecting quite that much, but it really helped out a whole lot.
Governor Culver is sending the pen he used to sign the bill to State Representative Ray Zirkelbach of Monticello. He's not at the State House these days. He's a member of the Guard and is currently on active duty in Iraq. A graduate from a small northeast Iowa college is starring in the touring Broadway production of The Phantom of the Opera on stage in Des Moines. Radio Iowa's Matt Kelly reports.
Sarah Lawrence is in her fourth year on the tour that's taken her from Toronto to Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. and many other far-flung cities. The Wisconsin native got her music degree at Luther College in Decorah and is thrilled to be back in the Midwest.
My professors who've been coming to see the show and my roommate, who I hope will come to see the show, she lives in Cedar Falls. And yeah, it's been fun to be here and get back in touch with so many people from Luther, and it feels like home.
Lawrence is the permanent alternate for Christine, the lead female in Phantom. She performs two shows a week and is on standby for emergencies. The tour is already booked well into 2008, and someday when she leaves Phantom of the Opera, she'd like to sing real opera full-time. Radio Iowa, I'm Matt Kelly.
I love you. It seems heartless to recommend ignoring such a friendly message during the week of Valentine's Day, but a computer security expert says it could mean protecting yourself from a destructive computer virus attack. Doug Jacobson, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at Iowa State University, says if you're on the internet, you're exposed to some dangerous stuff.
They'll email it to you. The latest one is they'll email it to you with a headline that says, you know, Fidel Castro's dead, Russia shoots down a U.S. airliner, China sets off a nuclear explosion, or some other big headline, and then what's attached is a file that's supposed to be a video clip. And you click on the supposed video clip, and that installs this software onto your computer.
Then it's like a horror film as your computer turns into a zombie thing without your even realizing it.
What they like to do is turn your computer into a bot. And a bot is a computer that's under their control. And then they use that bot to send out all this spam that we see.
It's like robot, get it? If you've downloaded some of this malware and the bots have taken over your computer, Jacobson says you likely won't even know what's happening. You could be asleep, he says, or sitting there watching Seinfeld, and your computer could be out there raising havoc on the net. The best advice, he says, watch what you open and have good quality virus protection programs installed. Big winter storm hit this week, and then Iowa went into the deep freeze. One morning, Adair County worker Ray Stewart checked in while he was out cleaning secondary roads.
The snow is blowing pretty good. The drifts at this time that I've encountered anyway aren't real deep, maybe 2 or 3 foot. But the problem is, you go through and you look behind you, and it's blowed right back in just about as quick as you can get through it. I don't know if the wind's supposed to pick up some more or not. I was just talking to the boss about it. And he seemed to think it was supposed to blow harder yet today, so it's hard to tell what's going to happen.
Earl May Garden Center clerk Julie Streitenberger works at the flagship store in Shenandoah, where the business began. She says you can't use the same snow and ice remedies those big orange trucks are putting on the roads.
It'll kill the lawn. It'll kill the grass. The sodium in it is not good for the lawn. They make certain types of ice melt that are made for snow removal on the sidewalks that won't harm your grass. It should be indicated on the bag whether it's toxic to the lawn or not. Should say safe for your lawn and concrete.
She reminds garden-happy Iowans there's still plenty of winter ahead.
You probably need to start thinking about getting your tomatoes seeds or some of those harder or longer germination-type annual plants like geraniums and things like that. People start early and getting them started, but other than that, it's a little early for anything else.
Streitenberger says for now we'll have to be content with the promise of seed catalogs. Back in Washington, our congressman, yes, all men, phoned home to tell about the House debate on a resolution that condemns the Republican president's plan to send a surge of troops to Iraq. Democratic Congressman Leonard Boswell mentioned his 2 tours of duty in Vietnam and said U.S. troops in Iraq find themselves in the middle of a civil war. He says it's time to begin the planned phased withdrawal of U.S. forces. Congressman Steve King, a Republican from Chiron, said rather than pull out, American troops should stay and destroy the enemy in Iraq.
We haven't really won a war since World War II. Think about what that means. Think about what that means to our enemies who are encouraged by this kind of debate and this kind of behavior. We must have the resolve.
Second District Congressman Dave Loebsack says the U.S. has done all it can in Iraq.
Our troops have performed valiantly in Iraq. In just a matter of a few weeks, they removed from power a brutal dictator and began to provide the Iraqi people the opportunity to construct a new political order.
First District Iowa Congressman Bruce Braley checked in, saying some people think the resolution doesn't go far enough. Iowa 4th District Congressman Tom Latham spoke out against the resolution, saying the surge represents a recommendation by the Iraq Study Commission, and Democrats wanted the president to listen to it. Latham says blame for the aftermath of pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq will fall on those who vote for the resolution.
You can rest assured that the humanitarian disaster will be yours. The jihadist victory will be yours. The rogue state coalition of Iran and Syria will be yours. A genocidal Sunni-Shiite-Arab civil war will be yours. You will have handed al-Qaeda victory and empowered its homicidal leaders.
And back home in Des Moines, Democrats in the Iowa Senate passed a resolution opposing the plan to send more American soldiers into Iraq. Senate President Jack Kibbe, a Democrat from Emmitsburg, says the issue is a topic of discussion in every coffee shop in the country.
This resolution is probably one of the more serious and important issues that we'll vote on in this session.
28 of the 30 Democrats in the Iowa Senate were co-sponsors of the resolution. 4 Republicans stood up to chide Democrats for even taking up the measure. Senator Brad Zahn, a Republican from Urbandale, said there was no reason for the Iowa legislature to debate foreign policy. Senator James Seymour, a Republican from Woodbine, is a veteran of the Marine Corps.
I'm ashamed of the Senate today. I'm ashamed that we have this resolution in front of us.
In 2003, when Republicans held a majority of seats in the House and Senate, both chambers passed resolutions supporting the decision to go to war in Iraq. Surge or not, many soldiers could be safer and hundreds of workers in the Quad Cities busier with Humvee armor. Members of Iowa's and Illinois' congressional delegations are asking why the Rock Island Arsenal isn't being contracted to make armor plating to make military vehicles safer from roadside bombs. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin says the arsenal's workforce is at the ready.
The U.S. Army is short about 4,000 up armor kits. That means
new armored kits for Humvees in Iraq and Afghanistan. These are essential in protecting our troops from roadside bombs, which account for an estimated 70% of American casualties in Iraq. It's just unacceptable. We send our men and women to Iraq without all the necessary equipment.
Harkin joined with Senator Chuck Grassley and Iowa Congressman Bruce Braley, as well as several of their colleagues from Illinois, in writing to the head of the Pentagon asking how the Rock Island Arsenal can help meet the need. The arsenal employs 6,400 people, and it's on a 3-mile-long island in the Mississippi River between Davenport, Iowa, and Rock Island, Illinois. We can hardly get any rest around here for all the traffic. This weekend, Iowa was slated to see 4 presidential candidates come trooping through. Democrat John Edwards said he's the first candidate to lay out a detailed, truly universal health care plan.
It's a plan that requires shared responsibility. Employers are required to cover their employees or pay into a fund for coverage. The government plays a very important role in this. The government will set up health markets with multiple choices that people can choose from for their health care coverage. The government will subsidize health care costs entirely for lower-income families and to some extent, to a lesser extent, as you go up the income ladder. The government will help create efficiencies by mandating lower administrative costs, the use of technology, and also just make choices available, including a government plan similar to what the U.S. Senate has available to it, so that if people choose, this thing could move toward a government single-payer plan.
Edwards was due in Davenport on Saturday. Delaware Senator Joe Biden was in Marshalltown to talk about his contention that the Iraq War Resolution Congress approved back in 2002 is no longer valid.
The authority the president had to use force in Iraq was to get rid of weapons of mass destruction, make sure that Iraq was complying with the UN resolutions, and 3, get rid of Saddam if need be. All 3 of those things are happening. We did not go to get in the midst of a civil war.
Biden Friday flew back to Washington to get in on a final vote on a new resolution. This is the one condemning the president's plan to send a surge of more troops to Iraq. The 3rd presidential candidate is scheduled to appear in Iowa this weekend is Arizona Senator John McCain, a Republican. McCain has long said there should be more troops on the ground in Iraq and has been supportive of the president's latest plan for a troop surge. He was scheduled to hold events on Saturday in Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, and Davenport. Kansas Senator Sam Brownback, another GOP presidential candidate, recently traveled to Iraq, and upon his return came out against the troop surge plan, making him the lone Republican presidential candidate to oppose the idea. His staff told us he'd visit Iowa, then said he wouldn't because he had to be in Washington to vote on that surge resolution. Then they called to say he'd made a quick stop but left already. Some weeks they don't make it easy, but we keep working at it. The Radio Iowa Podcast. I'm Stella Schaffer.